Okay, we're now going to have the Bible reading. If you can carry over your conversations around love at lunch after the service today. So today's reading comes from 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 11, right through to the verse 24. So that's 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 11. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or a sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us.
Thanks, Danielle. Good morning, everyone. Well, actions speak louder than words. That's true, isn't it? Don't just say that you love someone, show it by what you do. And that's really at the heart of our passage this morning from 1 John. Real love, not fake love. Last week, in the first half of chapter 3, John makes this astounding claim that Christians are God's children. And so we do what God does, like father, like child. God loves, and so the way that you can tell a child of God is by their love for one another. If you've been paying attention the past few weeks, you'll have noticed that we've been talking about love quite a bit. This is not the first time that John's spoken about love. And you can imagine the book of John a little bit like a lighthouse. I think I've got a slide there of a lighthouse. Can I get you to control those slides? Thanks, Evan. So a lighthouse, it's got windows up one side of it, looking out at the ocean or back inland. And you look out one of the windows in the lighthouse. But there's a spiral staircase that goes up the lighthouse. And so you look out the window and then you go up the staircase, and what do you get to? Well, you get to the next window. And the view out that window, it's not completely different to the previous window because you're looking out over the same ocean, but you're a bit higher up. And so you might notice a few more things. You might see a ship on the horizon or a sea eagle flying over the waves. Now, as we come to this passage of 1 John this morning, we've been peering out a window, and now we've climbed the stairs and we've circled back around to the next window. And it's a familiar scene. We're peering out the window of love. We're thinking about love again. In the previous window, we saw that we know that we're God's children because we love one another. In this window, as we think about love, John is answering the question, well, what is love? If we're meant to love one another, what does that actually look like? What does it mean to love? What is true love? Now, you might think that's a bit of a silly question, that we don't need anyone to tell us what love is. Love is just obvious. That's just what we do. We just know it. But there are lots of things, you might have noticed, that our world calls love. You can fall in and out of love with someone. When the feeling's there, you're in love. But when it's gone, there's no love there anymore. Is that love? Or a man or woman might have an affair, and they'll say, that person, they loved me more than my spouse. Is that love? Or there's a popular catchphrase today in the world, love is love. All forms of love are legitimate. Is that right? What does true love look like? Well, that's at the heart of this part of 1 John that we're looking at this morning. It'd be great to have it open in front of you. We're in 1 John chapter 3. We're thinking about what is love. It's not just an interesting question to debate. What John shows us in this passage is that, in fact, love is a life and death issue. There's a lot at stake. He says it's only those who know true love who have life. Now, it may be that what we call love or what we express when we think we're loving is not actually love. It might be that our love for one another has grown a bit cold. It might be that we've got resentment or bitterness that's choking our love, that's a barrier to loving one another. We've forgotten how to love. Whatever the case, we all need to hear what God has to say to us in this passage this morning. We need to take a close look at our hearts and examine them to see, do I truly know love? Is my love for others genuine? And when we do that, when we look at our hearts and we're unsure, John writes here to give us certainty. This is how you know what true love is. This is what you must do if you find your heart condemning you, if you feel that you're not living up to this sort of love. We're going to look at four key points this morning that John makes about this love, about love in this passage. He's answering the question, what is love? Where do we find true love? And John's first point is that we don't find it if we go looking in the world. Point one, the world does not know love. If you look at verse 11, John says, the message that you've heard from the beginning is this: we should love one another. Do not be like Cain. Now, what does it mean to love one another? What does it look like? Well, John says, I can tell you what it doesn't look like. It doesn't look like Cain. Remember Cain? He was the eldest son of Adam and Eve, and he killed his brother Abel, and he tried to cover it up. We learn about that in Genesis. And here in verse 12 of 1 John, John says, don't be like Cain. Because Cain, if you notice verse 12, Cain belonged to the evil one. He belonged to the devil. Because when Cain murdered Abel, he showed his true colors that day. Cain showed that he was not a child of God, but he belonged to the evil one. Why did Cain kill his brother? Verse 12, because Abel showed him up. Abel did what was right, and Cain didn't. And Cain hated that fact. It's a bit like how when there are cockroaches in a room and you turn on the light and they all scurry and they hide. They hate the light because it shows them up. Cain hated his brother because his brother showed who he truly was. And so he murdered him. And so John says, you want to love? Don't be like Cain. Now, I'm assuming that none of us here have actually murdered anyone. But have you ever hated? John's talking about here something deeper than murder. He's talking about the hatred that lies behind murder. He's talking about hate. And why is hate so serious? Look at verse 15. John says, those who hate are just like Cain, who was a murderer. Those who hate belong to the evil one. And why is that such bad news? Because those who belong to the evil one do not have life. Hatred shows that you belong to the evil one. And if you belong to the evil one, you are spiritually dead. Hate is an absence of love. A body that has no heartbeat is dead. A person who has no love is spiritually dead. Look at me at verse 14. John says, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him." Christians are people who've been brought from death to life. We no longer belong to the evil one. We were spiritually dead, but Jesus has brought us to life. And the evidence, the sign of life, is our love for one another. But as for the rest of the world, like Cain, belongs to the evil one. The world remains in death. The world does not know love. So where do we find true love? Well, this is our second point. The world does not know love, but Jesus loved the world. Read with me verse 16. John says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us." How do we know what love is? Well, we don't find it in a dictionary. We find it in history. We don't see it in Cain. We see it in Jesus. When Jesus came into our world and he gave his life for us, God's love was on display that day in a way that it has never been before in history. The creator of the universe, the eternal one, the one who made life, he loved us so much that he came into our world and he surrendered his life to save us. Jesus came to the creatures, the very creatures that he made, and not only did we not recognize him, but we rejected him and we put him to death. When we look back at the cross, we see the one perfect act of love that the world has ever seen. That is how we know what love is. On the cross, Jesus faced the full consequence of our sin, of our rebellion against God. And it wasn't a love that we deserved. We were God's enemies. This is a love that is outrageously generous. The Son of God did not hold back anything. He gave his life for us. This is a love that is costly. This is a love that is selfless. Jesus sought our good, not his own. It's a self-giving love. It's a love that would stop at nothing. Cain belonged to the evil one. He sought to take life for his own benefit. Jesus gave life. He gave his life for our benefit. And so John says, brothers and sisters, that is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. The world does not know love, but Jesus loved the world. And so our third point is this. Point three, whoever believes in Jesus knows love. The Christian knows love. The Christian knows love in a way that the world does not, because the Christian knows the love of Jesus. If we believe in Jesus, if we trust him as our Savior, then we know love. And we know Jesus' love in two ways. Firstly, we know his love because we have been loved. When Jesus laid down his life for us, it wasn't just a demonstration. It wasn't just out there. It was for us. If you're standing at the zoo outside the bear cage, and someone says to you, "I'm going to show you how much I love you." And they run into the bear cage and they're killed by the bear. And you think, wow, that person must have really loved me to have done that. Crazy. But if you were actually trapped inside the bear cage and the bear's coming at you and someone steps between you and the bear and they give their life for you, then you would know their love in a far greater way. We don't just know about Jesus' love. We don't just admire his example. No, he died for us, for me, for you. We were in desperate need of saving, and Jesus stepped between us and death. We know Jesus' love because he loved us. And then secondly, we know Jesus' love because we now share his love with one another. Have a look again at verse 16. John says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." We know Jesus' love in what he did for us at the cross, once and for all. But we also know that love because it's now at work in us who believe. We are to love one another with the same love that Jesus showed us. Now, John is talking here about a particular kind of love. It's not a general love for the world. He's talking about a love for our Christian brothers and sisters, a love for one another. We are to give our lives for one another as Jesus gave his life for us. We don't pay for each other's sins. No, Jesus has done that once and for all. No, we are to have the same sort of love for one another that Jesus had for us. And so instead of hating each other and seeking to take life like Cain, we show the same sort of love that Jesus has shown us. We lay down our lives for one another. So perfect. So I just sit around and I wait till there's a bear that I need to jump in front of. Well, not exactly. That is the ultimate example of love. But John says it's expressed in the everyday stuff of life. Look at verse 17. He says, "Here's a practical way of showing this kind of love to one another." Verse 17. "If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Real love, says John, the sort of love that Jesus has shown us, that self-giving, costly, generous love, that sort of love that we are to have for one another is active. It's not just empty words, it leads to action. And here's what it looks like, says John. Here's an example. It looks like sharing what you have with a Christian brother or sister in need. Now, I know there are some of us here at church who are in financial difficulty. And if you know about it and you're able to do something about it, then you should. That is a way for you to love your Christian brother or sister. Give what you have for the sake of someone else. And if you don't see any financial need here, there certainly is overseas. There are Christian brothers and sisters overseas in much greater need than us. Be generous to them. That is the sort of self-giving love that Jesus showed us. It's genuine love, not fake love. And our friend was telling me recently they went to a wedding. And as you know, you probably know, wedding cakes are very expensive. And they're often got multiple tiers. And this cake had multiple tiers, multiple levels, layers. But cleverly, the bride and groom decided we're just going to have one of the layers made out of real cake. And the other ones are going to be made out of, I think it was styrofoam. And they covered them with icing. So you can't tell from the outside. It all looks like cake. It all looks good. It's just important to have that one layer that you're going to cut into to be real cake. Now, as Christians, we are not to have a styrofoam cake kind of love, a love that looks good on the outside, but there's no depth to it. We're not to have a love where we just tell each other we love each other on the outside, where we're pleasant to one another, but on the inside there might be resentment or bitterness, where we say hello to one another at church, but then we don't really have much to do with one another. That is a styrofoam cake kind of love. We're to love one another, not just with words, but with true love, with action, active love. And that sort of love can be costly. It seeks the good of another. It's the sort of love that led to the first public hospitals, places that cared for the sick and the vulnerable. It's the sort of love that led to the first charities, places that cared for the poor, the orphan, the widow. It was the sort of love that led to the abolition of slavery. Those were all initiatives that were pioneered by Christians. They were Christians living out the love that Jesus had shown them. Now, you don't have to establish a charity or a hospital. This sort of love is lived out in the day-to-day stuff of life with one another in 1,000 different ways. It's about changing your heart, your attitude. We don't come to church to think about ourselves, but actually to think about others, one another. How can I edify others? How can I love others? And so you might sacrifice some of your time and energy to love the kids at church, to teach them on a Sunday morning. Or you might decide, I'm going to visit an elderly member of church to encourage them. Or you might make a meal for someone who's struggling, or you might buy them a gift card. Or you might give someone a call during the week to encourage them. You might make a real effort to look out for new people or people who seem like they're not fitting in or someone who's lonely. You might decide, I'm going to park further away from here so that the spots closer to church are there for people who might need it more than me or people who are running late. Or you might decide, that thing that I really wanted to do, I'm not going to do that because it's going to make it hard for me to get to church. It's going to clash. It's going to hinder my ability to come to church to encourage others. There are so many ways that we can love one another in the way that Jesus has loved us. But if we're to love one another in the way that Jesus has loved us, then there are probably some things that we need to fix as well. Some of us can be a little bit clicky. And I'm not just thinking about the adults here, but the kids and youth as well. Sometimes we just want to talk to our friends, and we don't really want to make an effort to include others. Friends, that's not how Jesus loved us, is it? We want to look around. We want to include others. We want to look for people who are on the outer, even people who you might find hard to love. Some of us might have an issue with bitterness or resentment. And that's a barrier to love. You need to address that. The worst thing you can do is to let that stew. If you're struggling to forgive a Christian brother or sister, remember the forgiveness that God has shown you. Now, some of us might need to be more willing to be a bit more open with one another. It's hard to love if we're not willing to open our lives to each other. It's hard to love if we're deliberately distancing ourselves from one another, if we duck off quickly after church, or we're only here semi-regularly. A family who loves each other spends time together. A family who loves each other feels safe to be open with one another. So Christians know love because Jesus loved us at the cross. And Christians know love because we now love one another with the love that Jesus has shown us. And so our final point this morning is, do you know love? Do you know love? Who is it that knows love? It's the Christian. It's the one who believes in Jesus. Or to put it in John's words here, it's not those who belong to the evil one, but verse 19, it's those who belong to the truth. But how do you know if you belong to the truth? Well, the answer is if you love one another. Verse 18, not in words or speech, says John, but with actions and in truth. This, says John, this is how we know that we belong to the truth. When we love one another as Jesus loved us, that is the evidence that we belong to the truth. But what if you're not sure? And yet you look at your life and you see evidence of love, but it's not perfect. Sometimes people drive us to the point of hatred. What then? Well, it may be that there is hatred in your heart. And when you come before God, there might be something that you need to repent of. And I think that is the warning in this passage here. Now, don't expect God to share his love with you if you are not willing to love your brother and sister. But when we look in our hearts and we see hatred and we repent, John says God is greater than our hearts. With his help, we turn from hate and we pursue love. And if my heart still condemns me, you don't belong to the truth. Your love doesn't measure up to Jesus' love. When our hearts condemn us, verse 20, John says, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. When our hearts condemn us, we remember that God is a better judge than I am, than you are. God knows my own heart better than I do. And when he looks at the heart of the person who trusts in his son, he says, this is a child of mine. Thank God that he is the judge and not my heart, not your heart. And so John says in verse 21, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, then we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. John says, if we believe in Jesus, if that belief is seen in the things that we do, in our love for one another, then we can come before God confidently as our Father. Our hearts need not condemn us. We can enjoy the Father's love. We can ask him for what we need. The Father has given us everything, even his Son. How is he going to withhold anything good that we ask of him? This passage this morning that we've looked at is about true love. John shows us that true love is not found in the world, but in Jesus laying down his life for us. Do you know this love? Do you know true love? Well, the question really boils down to this. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you put your trust in him? Have you accepted his life as payment for your sin in place of yours? If you haven't, then God's warning to you in this passage is that you still belong to the world, a world that's under the control of the evil one. You are still in death. Without Jesus, you can't truly know love. But if you are a believer in Jesus, if you are a Christian, the encouragement of this passage is that you've been brought from death to life. You now belong to the truth. So continue to live out your trust in Jesus by loving one another, just as Jesus has loved us. Why don't we pray that God would help us to do that? Lord Jesus, thank you that you loved us. Thank you for laying down your life to save us. Thank you for bringing us from death to life. By your Spirit, please help us to grow in love for one another. Help us to love one another as you have loved us. Amen.